what he's going through is that he's never went to Bible school and never had no Bible training other than on his own. And some he's got a couple of deacons that are against him over it. They're picking him apart, put it that way, because he didn't never had any training. But he's got Brother Sherry there. Brother Sherry went to school together. And I asked, Brother Sherry ain't doing nothing like that, is he? He said, no, Brother Sherry's not doing nothing like that. Brother Sherry's trying to help him. So that's what they ought to be doing, trying to help him. So you pray for Brother Sherry. And Brother Sherry's a deacon there, but he's got other deacons there that that's trying to pick him apart. So y'all pray for him. Take your Bible, look in 2 John tonight. We already finished up 1 John and 2 John. And this is just a small book. It's got just, I had it written down here. It's only 13 verses. I had words written down, but it was written around AD 90. And John is up in his years. And you know, John was on the Isle of Patmos, but he wrote this letter to the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And he's writing this letter to one of the ladies. You say, who is the lady? Nobody really knows other than maybe it could have been Mary Magdalene. It could have been one of the ladies that were with around the time when Jesus Christ was crucified. And he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. And for the truth's sake, which dwell in us and shall be with us forever. Now, there was a couple women with John. That take your Bible, look back in John chapter 20, I think it is. Go back to John chapter 20. There was a couple of women at the crucifixion, and John was there, and everybody else forsook Jesus Christ. All the disciples forsook him, and but John ended up being there with the place where Jesus Christ was being questioned, and he tried to get Peter to come inside, and Peter was outside by the fire warming himself. And then the Bible says that even when they came into the Garden of Gethsemane, and we was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and I could see there was only two ways, I think it was two ways in there, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and one way in, one way out. And when they came in the Garden of Gethsemane to get Jesus Christ, the Bible says everybody forsook him, and Jesus even told them that they would. But then John ends up there by the inside where they were prosecuting Jesus Christ. And then John shows up here at the cross. And look in John chapter, 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John ends up there. And look at verse 24. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rent it and cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. And these things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and then it says Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to a disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst, and so on. Go back to 2 John. Now, I would say, if I had to guess, I would say maybe it's Mary Magdalene. It might have been Mary Magdalene. And it says, to the elect, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And Mary Magdalene, you know what the Bible says, Jesus cast out devils out of her, and she had a sister named Martha, and a brother named Lazarus, and the Bible says that he said she was there down at look at verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment as ye have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. And he says that you heard from the beginning. And look, verse 5, now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. See that thing? Indicating she was there. Somebody was there. This woman, whoever it was there. And John says, I love her because she loves the truth. And so John here is probably in his 80s, maybe even 90s. He gets cast out to the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation that says AD 96 here. Some men say sooner, some a little later, but AD 96. So when John's writing this, he said, who's the lady? Who's the elect lady? I would say it had to be one of the women that were there from the get-go, from maybe Mary Magdalene or Martha. And the Bible says, for the truth's sake, verse 2, for the truth's sake. And I've said this, when everybody else leaves, usually the women stay with him. And that's what happens, the women. The women got more character than the men. And usually when a church starts dying, it always ends up with the women there. That's why you find these women preachers. They end up getting in the pulpit and think they're called to preach, and they can't be. I mean, they're called to preach in the sense of preaching, but not called the pastor. And so you got women that will stay with the truth and stay with it and try to keep a church going. You find a lot of Methodist churches all over this country that have women, just women in there, and they're trying to keep the thing going. But he's writing to this woman because of the truth's sake, and he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Now, if you're sitting in here tonight, you've known the truth, man. You've known what the truth is. The truth has a way of ringing right in your ears. When you hear the truth, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And a lot of people know the truth, and they know what's right, but they don't do what's right. And they won't live right. They won't act right. They won't do what's right. And it says the truth, known the truth. It says, and the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwell in us. The truth is inside you. And you have the truth in your hand. And, you know, you can't counterfeit the truth. I mean, all these lies that come out, a lot of religions, they say, most religions, what they have is 70% truth. I say less than that. Maybe it's less than that. And they use some truth, and the Mormons use some truth from the Bible. They're going to get some legitimacy from the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses get legitimacy from the Bible. Even Muhammad, I was reading about Muhammad this week, and I was reading about how he got started and how the Shiites and the Sunnis, how they split over. And because when Muhammad died, his son-in-law took over, and they didn't feel like they were being represented, and they were fighting over it, who's going to be the greatest and all that stuff. And they take enough of the Bible to put in the Quran. I've got a Quran. I've got two of them. And they've taken enough of the Bible. They say they believe Elijah was there. They believe Elijah was told the truth. They believe Moses was the truth, the prophet. They believe some of the other prophets came along. They believe their truth. They believe Jesus Christ was a prophet. They don't deny Jesus Christ. They believe he's a prophet. But they believe that Muhammad is the latest prophet with all the truth. That's what they believe. And they believe he got this revelation from Allah, and Allah is a false god. And they believe that's what they get their revelation from. But they won't deny Elijah, Moses. They won't deny them because they've got some of the scripture written in the Quran to try to make it legitimate. And they try to mess with the word of God. And so that's what the devil does. He tries to give you a little bit of truth and then try to build upon that. But he has lies to add with it. Now, you know the truth. The Bible says, for the truth's sake. What are you doing for the truth's sake? What have you done with your life for the truth's sake? You say, I got the truth. But are you living the kind of life that the truth, what your life backs up the truth? And the truth backs up your life. I mean, the truth is important in our lives. And man, the truth, when you have the truth, the Bible says, don't sell it. Don't sell it out. Don't sell it out. When you have the truth, don't sell it out. I mean, the truth is worth more than anything in all the world. I mean, the truth's sake. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Now, look on down what he says. He says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. You know, I believe this. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be a King James Bible in heaven. I believe that. Why? It's truth. And God keeps his word. Men try to deny it. They try to say, oh, man, God can't keep his word. The Bible tells you God keeps his word. If God can't keep his word, he's a liar. And he's not a liar. And the Bible tells us God preserves his word. And why? He's not going to allow no man, no woman, no person to stand before him, not even the devil, to be able to stand before him and say, well, you didn't keep your word, and that wasn't the truth. Now, they can go through, like Donald Trump, you know, saying, oh, he's told a lie here and there, and all these, everyone, senators, congressmen, they've all lied. The Bible says all men are liars. All men are liars. You've lied about something. But I'm going to tell you something, when it comes to God, in his word, in the truth, God ain't no liar. Amen. Three times your Bible, God says, God cannot lie. If he's a liar, then he's a sinner. If he's a liar, he's a sinner. And God's not a liar, and God's not a sinner. And boy, I tell you what, when you have the truth, what are you doing for the truth? You know, when we put our money in the plate, we're propagating the gospel. We're putting money to keep the gospel going. Some people don't think, see, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give. And they don't care about the truth going out. They don't care about the missionaries on the field getting the truth out, like Brother Maurice talking about. And they don't care about that. When you don't give, you don't care about the truth going out. You say, well, that pays the bills of the church. That pays the preacher's salary. That pays, yeah, but still, it pays for the truth to go out. Amen. That's what it does. And the truth's sake. So for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. One day we're going to stand and when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, it's all going to be true. And ain't nobody going to spread no lie. Ain't nobody going to tell no falsehood. And you ain't going to be able to say what you did for Christ and what you did and all that. It's all going to be right in front of you. It's going to be the truth. And ain't going to be no falsehood. And man, I thank God for that. We're looking for a city. We're looking for a city one day. I mean, that's why people, when you get older, you say, man, I'm sick and tired of this world. I'm sick and tired of lies. I'm sick and tired of all the junk. I mean, you realize every day we lived, I mean, I'm just looking at the news, well, depression. I mean, all these people getting killed, all these people doing stuff, killing their babies, killing themselves, jumping off buildings, all that crazy stuff around the world, earthquakes. And the people say, man, there's more earthquakes going on around the world. What do you think that is? Why do you think all this stuff is happening? The Lord said this stuff is going to happen. Why? Because of truth. Truth. Men reject the truth. A fellow said one time, he said, what men do, they trip over the truth and they get up as if nothing happened and run away. And that's what happens. And the truth. And John's writing about the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, peace, our mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Man, when I got saved, I was going to church, and when I was going there, and then I didn't know what, you know, people talking about this Bible, that Bible, and people talk about our church, say, oh, they're a bunch of Bible worshipers. No, we don't worship the Bible. We thank God for the Word of God. But we know this Bible is not God, but it's close to Him. Amen. You can't drop God. You can't write on God. You can't, but it's close to Him. But people say, well, we don't have to believe that Bible. I mean, that King James, any Bible do. So you got all these churches going along with the new Bibles and all that stuff. And you know what they've done? They sold out truth. They've gotten rid of the truth. What you do is you keep taking it away, taking it away, taking it away. Before long, you have no truth. That's why we stay with the old book. Because it's the truth. You ever thank God for the truth? I had a guy leave our church recently. Called me. Said, "Well, y'all, you preach when you turn. See, you say turn the page. This turn the page. I we don't like to turn our Bibles. Come on, man. What? What are you gonna be deceived? If you don't turn in your Bible, you don't know what's right. You don't know if he's telling you the truth or not. You need to check it out. The Catholic Church will tell you that. Don't open your Bible." Don't open your Bible. Mormons, don't open your Bible. Anytime somebody's telling you, you don't have to bring a Bible. They're trying to sell you something. Trying to give you a boatload of stuff. They ain't trying to give you the truth. My Lord, man. It gets them under my skin. People start saying, well, you turn in the Bible too much Bible reading, too much Bible. Brother, we was talking about that brother preacher the other night. He quoted a lot of Bible. I like that. I like that. Quoting the Word of God, man. That's good. Memorize it, hide it in your heart. That, you know why? It says that I might not sin against thee. You hide the Word of God in your heart, you hide the truth in there, it keeps you hard, makes it hard to sin. You read your Bible, it makes it hard to sin. But what people do, they know other things more than they know the truth. When you read your Bible, when you memorize it, hide the truth in your heart. I remember, was it Darlene Rose that was in the Japanese prison camp? Where she said, all these missionary women, she said these women that she thought that were, you know, she looked up to and everything, she said they were falling apart. And she said, wow, these are women that I thought were the greatest Christians in all the world. Yeah. And then he said, we got together and we started trying to, we thought, well, maybe we can try to memorize what we know and try to write it on a piece of paper and we can read it every day like reading our Bible. If you were caught with it, you were beat. Yeah. Now, if we had to depend on you to help us write up pieces of the Bible, do you have anything hidden in your heart? Do you have any scripture that you can quote? And she said they started writing down scripture and they would pass it to each other. They would pass each other and they would read it and cry. And she said, man, if we got caught with it, we got beat and they would burn it. Some women would get killed. What? The truth? You know what people hate? They hate truth. The Mormons, they hate the truth. The Mormons, their whole thing, I got a CD on what they believe. They did a DNA testing on, out there at the Brigham Young University, started a scientific wing of the university where they did DNA testing. What is it? No, not genealogy. It was another word for it. I'll think of it in a minute. But they started DNA testing. And when they did that, they said, because the Mormons teach, now folks, people, you know, they say Mormons were the biggest, largest growing church in all the world. And the Mormons teach that people don't even know, they teach that they came from the tribe of Ephraim. If you read in their book, in the Book of Morons, you would read, it says that they came from the tribe of Ephraim. And that's what the Mormons teach. So they did DNA testing on all these descendants of Brigham Young and all these different men that were supposed to be such, you know, leaders of the church. And they found not one of them had Jewish blood in them. And they interviewed them and said, what do you think about that? They said, that kind of blows our whole thing, what we've been taught. What we've been taught has been a lie. And they said, that blows the whole thing apart. It's in a forensic science. That's where they started. Forensic science. And they started the DNA testing. And they, descendants of Brigham Young, supposedly, no Jewish blood at all. And they believe they came from the tribe of Ephraim. I wouldn't claim the tribe of Ephraim if I were them. Because he says Ephraim has turned himself to idols, leave him alone. And Ephraim was a wicked tribe. And so they claimed that. So you got all these religions that's built upon a lie. There's no truth. They got a little bit of truth. They get it from the King James Bible. The Mormon, if you read a Mormon Bible, look like somebody wrote or copied out of a King James Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they've written out. So when John's talking about the truth, man, he says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you and mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father or the Son and of the Father in truth and love. Now, there's religion that, here's another thing. The Bible talks about if they don't believe that Jesus Christ was God and confess that Jesus Christ has come into flesh, then look out. They're not of God. So the Mormons, they believe, okay, well, he was a prophet. But when it says he come into flesh, Jesus Christ coming into flesh, talking about God. Because 2 Timothy says, it says God was manifest in the flesh. So they don't believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. They believe he was a God. They believe you're a God. And one day you're going to be different gods floating around. And there's crazy beliefs out there. And what's that? We go to the planet Kolar.
And women just have babies forever.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? You ladies just have babies forever. One other thing. You read the Book of Mormons, it's like some nut wrote that. And it did. It was a nut. And he wasn't screwed to the right bolt. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Now, you know what we want? We want to pass truth down to our kids. Amen. You want to pass it down to your children to carry. You know what? Today, this day and age, kids ain't carrying truth. Amen. Why? Because of their own selfish ways that they want to do things. Amen. They know what the truth is. They know what's right. And they're selling the truth out for their own little fancies.
Right. Amen.
They sell the truth out.
Right.
When I got saved, I went to a church, a big church, and I seen all these Christian kids in there. They were trying to find out information from me, what I was doing out in the world, because why? I was trying to get in. They were trying to get out.
That's right.
You got Christian kids in church. Isn't it something how you got some Christian kids, that bus kids, that never had a background as Christian in Christianity or anything, and they get saved, they get fired up, and they don't understand. You hear these Christian kids raised in church out living like hell. And haven't put it all over Facebook so they can show everybody how they're living like hell. Boy, that boggles my mind, man. I'm a first generation Christian, and I didn't get saved till 18 years old. And it bothers me to see Christian kids raised in church, knowing what the truth is, and they sell it like and throw it away like a piece of trash. That bothers me. That bothers me. It should bother you. You got Christian kids, but you said, well, my parents are hypocrites. The way they live, they are hypocrites. Well, don't use your parents. If you're of age, you're of age. You don't have to be a hypocrite.
Amen.
Why don't you live right? You ain't got the guts to live right. That's what the problem is. You ain't got the guts. You're a punk. You're a sissy. I'll call you every name in the book because you ain't got the guts because you don't love the truth.
Amen.
You work against the truth. Why? For your own lie.
Right.
So you can live the way you want. I don't know who that's for, but that's for somebody. Amen.
Amen.
That boy Brian had the truth. He had the truth, man. It bothers me. Makes me want to. It just bothers me.
Amen.
Boy, hang himself with four little kids. I was at the house looking at his children, his daughter, and all four kids. Got drunk, and the devil whispering in his ear, "Go ahead and kill yourself." That's what the devil wants for you. Exactly what he wants. He wants to destroy you. Why? Because you know what truth is. You know what truth is. He wants to destroy you. Why? If you ever get a hold of it and you really ever run with it, you could probably change a lot of people's lives. You could do something for Jesus Christ, but you won't. You won't. You won't. You ain't got the guts. You ain't got the guts to do it. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in the truth. Walking in the truth.
Amen.
As we have received a commandment from the Father. Let me tell you something. The Father's watching. The Son's watching. The Holy Ghost of God is inside you. And you're grieving him and grieving him and grieving him. We all have grieved him. We've all quenched him. But man, when you go have to look at these little kids, and see the family, and then you got a bunch of druggies hanging around,
Yeah.
I'll stop there.